We're on this journey getting to know Daniel, the life and the character of Daniel in the Bible. And we've been looking at how could he shine like a star in a place called Babylon, which really represents spiritual darkness. And how did he do that? How did he stand firm? How did he have boldness in his beliefs, yet he was still wise in his approach? And so today we're gonna take another step to get to know him. We're not reading through this book of the Bible chronologically. I'd encourage you to do that. But we are looking at some of the characteristics of Daniel. What made him shine like a star? What made him be bold in his beliefs? And so today, take a step further, we're going to look at how did he stand firm in the face of persecution? Persecution, what comes to mind when you think about the word persecution? Have you ever been persecuted? Have you ever been persecuted? Well, the biblical definition of persecution is to be mistreated by someone intentionally because of your beliefs. And maybe we have all kinds of different definitions, understandings of that word. I love this meme. I want to set it up. This meme, you probably have seen it. My kids poke fun at me because I always look at a meme. It's like, Dad, that was out, like, that was funny like 3 years ago. I think it's still funny, so even if it was old, but it's a behind the scenes picture of the set of The Passion of the Christ. And you had Mel Gibson as the director, Jim Caviezel playing Jesus. Here's the meme I want you to see. And it's that moment when I'm trying to explain to Jesus how hard my life has been recently. I just think that's so great. Even if you don't think it's funny, I do. So I get to share that. But I think that's funny because sometimes we have this idea in our mind of what persecution is, right? Oh man, I was persecuted because someone took my parking spot today and I could, you know, I had to walk further. It's like, that's not what persecution is. Actually, Jesus clarified what persecution is. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, there's this list called the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are blessings, like you'll be blessed by God when? This kind of person who has this kind of characteristic, you'll be blessed when you do this. And so he said, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who forgive. You know, he goes through all of these different characteristics. And then he gets to the very last one and he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's like, okay, I get that. But it's the only one where he takes it a step further and gives a little bit more definition. And I wanna read what his explanation is, Matthew 5:11. And Jesus says this, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you. How many of you are thankful for the blessing of God today? He blesses you when you experience all of that, yeah. Why? Why does this blessing come? Or why does this persecution come? Not because you couldn't find a parking spot, because you are my followers. And then Jesus, I think, my opinion is, he goes too far with this next statement. But Jesus said these words. Verse 12, he says, be happy about it. Be very glad. Come on, Jesus, are you serious? For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So biblical persecution is being mistreated intentionally by those who oppose your beliefs for being followers of Jesus, for putting your faith in God, being mistreated for that reason. And Jesus said, remember, the prophets, the ancient prophets, they were also persecuted. Could Jesus be talking about Daniel? Well, Daniel was one of the ancient prophets. And so the stories, these stories that are recorded down in the Old Testament of all, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they're written down as examples for us to follow. That's why we need to continue to have these Bible stories that may be familiar to you if you're in church. They're examples. They teach us how to live. And so today we're gonna look at the example of Daniel. How did he stand firm in the face of persecution? How did he stand firm when there was opposition towards his beliefs? So we're gonna go to Daniel's story today and Go back to Daniel chapter 2, records this moment of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember, they were captured from Israel. Babylonians came in and captured, and so now they are living as exiles in Babylon. And Daniel and his three friends and some others, they were chosen because they were smart, they were bright, they showed a lot of aptitude. They were chosen to serve at the pleasure of the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And they were part of his wise advisor. And so you know who else was in this wise advisors to the king? You know who else was in this group? Astrologers, sorcerers, magicians, all of this looking to Eastern religion. All of this was this group of advisors to the king. Daniel and his friends, they were trained and taught how to act and behave like Babylonians. And so in Daniel chapter 2, there's this moment recorded where the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he has a very disturbing dream, and he wakes up and he's frightened, he's terrified by this dream, and he quickly calls in his wise advisors, his astrologers, enchanters, sorcerers, magicians, and he said, "I just had this very disturbing dream and I need to know the meaning of it. So tell me the dream and its meaning." And the wise advisors was like, no problem, your majesty. Just tell us the dream. We'll be happy to tell you its meaning. And he said, "No, not this time." And I'm adding this part. Maybe you've told me meanings in the past, but I need to make sure that this is an accurate interpretation of my dream. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, "No, I need you to tell me the dream and its meaning. And by the way, if you don't, I'm going to have you all executed." And then wise advisor said, "Well, this is impossible, your majesty. Nobody can tell you the meaning of this dream." And I want to pick it up right there in Daniel chapter 2. Let's read what happens. How did the king respond to these guys that said that? The king was furious. He's furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. If you don't know what that means, it means heads cut off, right? They gone. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. I just want you to put yourselves in Daniel and his friends' place. Really understand what would be the emotional context and perspective that you'd have in this moment. So when Arioch, verse 14, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, picture that, the commander of the king's guard is coming to kill Daniel and his friends. Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Two very key words. He asked Arioch, "Why has the king issued such a harsh decree?" So Arioch told him all that had happened. And I think this, we have to look at this situation. This is an army general we could look at. Arioch was someone who was sent to do a job, and yet he gets engaged in a conversation. That's not his job to explain it. His job was to go and execute these guys. So Arioch told him all that had happened, verse 16. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. Verse 17, then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, told them what had happened. And he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. I'm so glad we have his prayer recorded here, because it gives us some insight into the character and nature of God. Verse 20, he said, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you and revealed to us what the king demanded. Then Daniel went in to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel said to him, "Don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream." And that's what happened. Spoiler alert, Daniel goes, he tells the king his dream and its meaning. And the king realized that Daniel's God was the one true God. And he actually promoted Daniel to this high level of power, this position of power, and made this proclamation that Daniel's God is the one true God. And his life was spared and all of the wise men were spared. But yet, even in this promotion that Daniel experienced, this new level of power and position of power, he still experienced persecution in the future. I think it's important for us to remember that. Just because you're in some level of position of power doesn't mean you're protected from persecution. And so the key in this that I want us to get, how did Daniel use wisdom and discretion? How was he able to stand firm and be bold in his beliefs, yet still use wisdom and discretion, be wise in his approach? Well, I want to give you five traits today that I think Daniel was a great example to us. And I don't want you to try to put all five of these into practice this week. I want you to pick one or two of them. Ask the Holy Spirit, which one or two do you want me to put into practice, and let God speak to you today. So let's go through these five traits that I think will help us know what it is to have wisdom and discretion, especially in the face of persecution or opposition, right? Number one, here we go. Number one is be alert. Alertness, awareness. Be vigilant. Pay attention to what's going on. Did you notice that Daniel in that moment, he was very aware. He was not ignorant to the situation, to the high stakes situation that he was in. He was alert. It's a very important spiritual characteristic, spiritual trait to have. Have you ever been around someone who is not paying attention? Maybe if you're in the conversation, maybe there's a group conversation going on and you're talking about, there's gonna be a future snowstorm coming and maybe we should leave a little bit earlier because we don't wanna get caught in that storm. And so you kind of wrap that conversation up and then the one person, finally interjects it, "Hey, did you guys know there's a storm coming? Maybe we should leave a little bit earlier." If you've ever been in a situation like that, here's a phrase that we use in our home. It's a little bit snarky, but I give you permission to borrow it. Just say to the person, "Well, welcome to what's going on." You can use that if you'd like. Welcome to what's going on. Daniel was alert. You know, he could have been in this dire situation and he could have just said to God, "God, why me? First, we're captured from Israel, our hometown. We're living as exiles and now we're just here. We're gonna be executed." But remember, victims ask, "Why me?" Survivors ask, "What now?" Amen. Thank you, Edith Eger, for that quote. So Daniel he was alert and he requested just a little bit of time to see if God would allow him some kind of opportunity to speak into this situation. Be alert. Number two is to be prudent. Be prudent. That means act wisely. Act with wisdom and discretion. Prudence is being able to look what's coming ahead. But there's another definition of prudence that I really love, and it's this: it's get wise counsel. Did you notice when we read about Daniel, the first thing he did when he got this word is he went right to his three friends and he shared this burden with them. And he said, come on, I need you to pray. Let's ask God to show us his mercy by revealing the secret of the dream. So let me just ask you, do you have people in your life that you can share the burden of life with? And are you one of those individuals that somebody can share their burden with you? Because sharing burdens divides them. Thank you, Don Neff, for that quote. Sharing burdens divide them. Do you have people in your life that you can share them? You can share them with them, with them. This is one of the reasons why we do small groups at Worship Center, because we want you to have an opportunity, an environment where you're not doing life alone, that you can share burdens. It's not just a place to just dump all your problems. No, it's a place where you can share and shoulder the burdens of life, shoulder the burdens of life of one another and walk through this life together. My small group is a perfect example of this, because we haven't met since November, but we have this really fancy thing called a group chat. And in the group chat, people are welcome to just share what's going on in their lives. And they could say, hey, this is going on. I have a friend who's going through this. Would you guys mind praying for them? And we've all already agreed, like, we want to pray for each other. So this is not just dumping problems. It's just saying, no, we're gonna do life and go through life together. Do you have that in your life? And I love the response that Daniel had when he brought his friends together and prayed. And then the dream was revealed. It was revealed to him. And I wonder how significant that was in bringing it other people to pray together with him. So be alert and be prudent. Number three is be discerning. Be discerning. Now, human discernment is simply just making judgments based on the information that you have. Right, trying to make the best decisions with the information available. And Daniel had human discernment. He was very wise, he had discretion, but he also showed something that we'll just call godly discernment. What is godly discernment? Well, I want you to see what godly discernment is. Godly discernment is this: it seeks God to reveal a word of knowledge beyond our human understanding. Godly discernment looks beyond just our own trying to figure things out with the information that we have, and it's seeking God and saying, God, I need you and I'm looking to you to reveal a word of knowledge beyond our human understanding. And I love what Daniel said when the meaning was revealed to him. He records this prayer. I just want to read through it again. He says, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. So he doesn't control everything that goes on, but the course or the arc of the world, he is in control. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. And he reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. See, godly discernment seeks God for that. This is why we should not be looking to New Age philosophy or New Age kind of religion, where very often it teaches you to get one with yourself and you're trying to find truth by finding yourself, or trying to become one with nature or one with the earth or one with the universe. And that's where truth really comes from. That will mislead you. There's only one true God. We need to know who that one true God is. He reveals all wisdom and knowledge. What is a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge actually activates faith. When you get a word of knowledge from God, it activates faith. The Apostle Paul actually teaches about this. And this is where I love how the Old Testament and New Testament works together. A gift of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is a word of knowledge. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's how Paul explains it. He says, a spiritual gift or a gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So the purpose of a gift being given, the gift of the Spirit, is to help other people. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. So if you like giving wise advice, let me just encourage you, caution you, make sure that you are tuned in to the Spirit of God. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge or a word of knowledge. Well, how do you get this gift? Well, you don't get it, it's given, so you have to receive it. And if the way these gifts of the Spirit can be received, first, it's not worrying about the gifts, you're just saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need more of your Spirit. When we say walking in the Spirit, it's just saying, God, I need you to fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. That's what Acts 1:8, Jesus said, be empowered to be witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. So all this walking in the Spirit is not just so that we have all these spiritual gifts. Say, look at all the spiritual gifts I have. They're to help one another. So when a word of knowledge is given, it's to activate the faith of someone else. And I've watched this, I've grown up in this church, and I've watched this happen through the years. And do you know why a word of knowledge is so powerful? Because if you've ever been on the receiving end of a word of knowledge, it communicates that God sees your situation. Amen. He knows your situation, he cares about your situation, and he is calling you to a deeper level of trust. It's one of the important parts of gathering like we're doing today. Gathering together to worship, to hear God's word. I pray that words of knowledge would activate your faith. I hope that takes place. I pray that the Spirit of God would fall on this place so that words of knowledge would let you know that God sees your situation and he's speaking to you. So there's the value of gathering together like this is we can take a pause in our busy, chaotic schedule, kind of step back from our busy week, all the problems, challenges that we face, and we all have those, and we can pause all of that and say, God, I need you. I need your presence. I need a word from you today. And it may come from his word that we read. It may come from a word spoken to you from another person. But a word of knowledge goes beyond our human understanding and must always align with God's word. Number three, be discerning. Godly discernment. Number four, trait number four is to be a servant of the Lord, not a troublemaker. What is a servant of the Lord? You might think, well, I didn't read that phrase. Is that in Daniel? No, but Daniel was a great example of a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord, they give of themselves, they give up of themselves to advance the cause of Christ. Being a servant of the Lord is open to any person. It's an invitation to all, and I would encourage you to be a servant of the Lord, but there's a cost to it. Count the cost. Be eager, but don't be too eager. Daniel is a great example of this, but Paul also used this phrase, a servant of the Lord. You want to see what a servant of the Lord is? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. A servant of the Lord, again, one who disregards their interests for the sake of the mission of Jesus. Servant of the Lord sounds exciting, sounds good, but here's the cost. Must not quarrel. Everybody say quarrel. That is not an easy word to say. Do you know what quarreling is? Quarreling is not debating and discussing because you disagree with somebody. Quarreling is ending a friendship because of that disagreement. It's choosing the importance of winning the argument, making that much more important than losing a friendship. Paul says a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. But must, I mean, he's not leaving a lot of room there. Must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Do you know any difficult people? Amen. Somebody said, Hopefully they're not sitting next to you, right? But I know there are people who know me that would say, yeah, I know some difficult people. Be patient with difficult people. And then verse 25 is so powerful. Here's another cost to being a servant of the Lord. Paul writes, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Gently instruct. Don't argue with them. Don't be a jerk to them. Don't treat them like dirt. Gently instruct and correct, another translation says, those who oppose the truth. And I find this so interesting. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. So it looks to me like the pathway for someone's heart to be changed is called gentleness. Perhaps God will use that instruction, if it's done in a gentle way, to actually change someone's heart. Then, verse 26, they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And that brings me to the final trait today. Number 5 is be gentle. Everybody say those two words, ready? Be gentle when instructing and correcting those who oppose the truth. Gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. It is actually a fruit of the Spirit. Just like a word of knowledge is a gift of the Spirit, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. So again, when we say, I want to walk in the Spirit, I want to be led by the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit working in our lives, one of those evidence should be gentleness. And on that list in Galatians 5, all the fruits of the Spirit, I think the gentleness and self-control are the areas where we get tested the most. Being gentle. I was talking to a friend of mine just this past week, and he was relaying a conversation he had with one of the schools that he's involved with. And the school has seen an incredible increase in disrespectful behavior to teachers. And they're in this conversation trying to figure out, you know, I wonder why and what are they gonna do about it. And one of the guys in this conversation said, when they're talking about why is there an increase of all this disrespect to authority, and one guy observed, he said, I wonder what these elementary students, what they heard from their parents, how their parents spoke about authority over the last couple years. Ouch. I'm kind of guilty of that one. You know, children imitate adults. Not just biological parents, but children will imitate adults. So if we're not happy with the behavior of the next generation, where do we need to look? Well, that convicted me just hearing that. So it's sobering, but you know what else it is? It's an opportunity. Because if children imitate adults, then the adults in the room have the opportunity to be an example and model what it means to be a servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord is not someone who's a troublemaker, but they will gently instruct those who oppose the truth. They will do it gently. They won't ignore those who oppose the truth. They won't just say, well, I guess we don't have anything, any responsibility for that. We're just gonna stay separate. They don't just say, why are they being such a jerk? They don't make trouble, but they gently instruct those who oppose the truth. And perhaps, Paul said, maybe that will be the pathway to change someone's heart. And I would say modeling this could be one of the greatest influences you have on the next generation, we have on the next generation. Gentleness is not weakness. You know, being gentle, Daniel was a great example of it. The Apostle Paul taught about it, but do you know who the greatest example of gentleness was? Jesus. Being like Jesus is gonna be gentle because Jesus was gentle. Do you have a scripture for that, Matt? I do. I do have one, I'm glad you asked. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened down by this life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." Being gentle is being like Jesus. I want to be more like that. There's a cost to it. Being a servant of the Lord is a cost. But I believe if we model this, it can actually transform, help transform somebody's life. So again, I don't want you to try to put all five of those into practice this week, but ask the Spirit of God right now, which of these five, which is one, two at the most, is the one that the Spirit of God would say, this is the one to put into practice in your life right now. Let's go through them again one more time. Be alert, be prudent, be discerning, be a servant of the Lord, not a troublemaker, and be gentle. Be gentle when instructing those who oppose the truth, because there will be people who oppose the truth. And I want us to be prepared for how we handle those situations. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It challenges us and encourages us. It will comfort the disturbed, and it will disturb our comfortable. And I pray, God, that our comfortable would get disturbed today. God, thank you for the life of Daniel. Thank you that he was an example for us to look to follow, to pattern our lives after. And may we have the courage to walk in the Spirit so that the evidence and the gifts of the Spirit, the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit would help us model. This isn't about trying to have more willpower and just trying a little bit harder. This is about letting the Spirit of God work in our lives so that we can model what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And I thank you for speaking to each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to dismiss our time service here before giving you an opportunity. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, maybe you've grown up in church, maybe you've heard about Daniel and these stories, but it's never been personal to you. Today, I want to encourage you to make a personal decision to follow Jesus. Every person has to answer that question. Follow him or reject him. There's no in between. When you make that decision to follow Jesus, it is a life where you bring your life under his authority. Turn from your selfish ways, repent of your sins, get on a new path, a new life, become a new creation in Christ, spiritually reborn. Old life is gone, new life has begun. And you begin seeing life through the grid of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You'll see your marriage through it. You'll see parenting through that. You'll see managing money through it, managing a business through it. You'll see managing relationship conflicts and friendships. Following Jesus will change the way you think. But it all starts with that decision. So if you're here today, you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, maybe you did and walked away from it at some point, I want to encourage you to make this decision today. So I'm going to ask you one more time just to bow your heads. And if you are ready to make that decision, I want to invite you to repeat this prayer out loud. Just repeat after me. Would you just say, "Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. Today I turn from my selfish ways, repent of my sins, and choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone and a new life has begun. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The power of the gospel, so powerful, it can save somebody's soul. Just that message of the good news. And so the Bible says when you pray that and you make that decision in your life, you're spiritually reborn, new creation in Christ. And so the very next step to take is to get into God's word and say, okay, what does this mean to be a follower of Jesus? Get a part of a good church that and a good community that will support this decision. So if you made that decision today, we wanna invite you to do something. It takes a lot of courage in a room like this. We have a Bible for you. The ushers have one and a gift for you. Would you just put your hand up in the air, unashamed of this decision? We want to celebrate it, and we want to give you this Bible. You're not alone. Almost every week, we have people making decisions. So just keep your hand up until an usher sees you. And then I want to invite you after the service to go to our connections rooms. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you and pray with you, just help you any way that we can in this journey of following Jesus. So I want to encourage you to stop by there as well. All right, well, can we thank God for his word today? I pray that it does comfort and disturb all at the same time. If you do need prayer today, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you. If you're facing something that seems impossible, remember that God can do the impossible. So I encourage you to come down for prayer. We have a prayer team down front. If you are new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. Love to get you connected any way that we can. So would you all stand? Let me close with this. I like to remind you of this, that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, align your life with his, and passionately pursue the purpose God has for your life. Hey, we love you. Have a great rest of your day, great week, and we'll see you here next weekend.